Welcome and thank you for clicking on the Harmonic Concordance blogcast, your source for inspired interviews that explore the edges of consciousness and the role of spirit in our transformative times. Now here's your host, Johnny Marie Hiel.
Thanks for joining us on the Harmonic Concordance blogcasts. Today we have James Dempsey with us. James has been on a healer's path his entire life. He has training as an athlete, a warrior, a singer, musician, artisan, builder, and a teacher, of course, and a healer. As a Reiki master, a shaman, and a psychic, James has the ability to not only assess the energetic blockages in one's auric fields, but he also offers simple, effective solutions that his clients may use on their own time to help keep them focused, energized, and on track. I would also like to add here that James is the voice on the Harmonic Concordance blog speaking for gratitude and forgiveness. Having said that, let's welcome in James. How are you doing today, James?
Doing well, Johnny. Thank you for having me.
Oh,
I'm very excited to be here.
My pleasure to have you here. I'm very glad. So, let me ask you to give us a little bit of background on who James the Shaman is, who James Dempsey is.
Well, I've been a channel since I was a little boy, for as long as I can remember. And I channeled in my room with my little brother. And I used to, so I've been familiar with these spirits, especially muses. Anyone who's a songwriter or a visual artist probably understands what muses are. And they are the spirits that sort of connect you to your own creativity and kind of whisper the poems or the songs in you. I would think that if you really sat down and talked with a songwriter, that they would tell you that, you know, that they have muses. And muses have been described to us all the way from ancient times. The Greeks had muses, so and muses have existed much longer than that. As long as poetry or songs have existed,
muses are those energies which whisper in our ears. Let's say, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So start with go back to your brothers. What you did with your brother, your muses.
Well, I used to, you know, I used to tell him stories off the top of my head. And, you know, the fact that I'm telling him 10 or 15 or 20 minute stories off the top of my head as an 8-year-old, that's probably pretty unusual unless I was sort of either reading or reciting a script that was being given to me. So that's kind of the way I put it. Then I went to Catholic school and sort of got a lot of that nonsense talked out of me by the nuns. So for a little while, you know, in my youth, I wasn't channeling as much because, you know, I was basically taught to disbelieve it. I am bipolar. I'm 55 years old. I was not diagnosed as bipolar until I was 44. So, bipolar people tend to be the raw materials from which shamans are made. Most bipolar people, I would say, are psychic. And those who are having the most difficulty with being bipolar, and it can be very difficult condition. I don't call it a disorder anymore. I call it the bipolar condition. And changing that was a big step in my life to sort of being able to manage my stuff better. So I think most bipolar people are the raw materials from whence come shaman. In the West, the Western civilization, I have a mental illness that needs to be medicated. If I had grown up in an indigenous and or Eastern tradition, they would probably have recognized my symptoms at a very young age and trained me to be a shaman. They would have done this even 3,000 years ago. They probably would have done it. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, how have you turned your shamanic life, the understanding of your shamanic self, into the work that you do for people now?
Oh, it's very interesting. It wasn't really until I started getting regular energy work, done on myself, getting regular Reiki treatments from a good practitioner. And this practitioner is one of the other people that belongs to your blog system. Her name's Lisa Campion. And I began to see her in 1985. I had actually gone into an alcohol rehab and talked to the spiritual guy. And I explained to him why I couldn't attend yoga with 30 other detoxing addicts in a very small room. So they had yoga every day, and I wanted to go do it. And I was in this room with all these people who were, giving off all kinds of energy, trying to get themselves back to, like, quote-unquote normal. And I was just getting inundated. And I explained it to the guy who ran the yoga class, and he said to me, and this is the first time I'd ever heard this term, he said to me, "You're an empath. And you have to find somebody to show you what being an empath means to you." So if anyone listening to this broadcast doesn't know what that is, Google empath, E-M-P-A-T-H. And it's the most common psychic ability there is. And when people say, well, what's an empath? In a nutshell, when people say, well, I can feel your pain, and it often sounds ridiculous, but I can feel your pain. That's how I explain it to people. That's what an empath does in two sentences.
And your ability as an empath allows you, as a shaman, to provide methodologies for your clients.
Absolutely, if I'm working on a client, whether they're on my table in my office or whether I'm working on them via Skype, I can feel their stuff when they're explaining the issues that they came to me for in the first place. They're explaining them to me. I can almost see and feel the places in their system where they're blocked up or goofed up or that they have that one of their chakras is wonky and it's not working right. I can sort of feel that stuff or almost see it in my mind's eye. That's what being an empath does to me.
Okay.
That's what being a channel does for me. And I've been a channel since as long as I can remember. And that really helped. One of the things that's happening every time I have a session with a client is it's not just me and the client. It's more like a big meeting. There's my spirit guides who are, I have several specific spirit guides that help me with my Reiki and help me when I'm doing hands-on healing work. And before I start the session, I call them in and, they're sort of standing by and kind of whispering in my ear. The other thing that happens is every one of us has a group of spirit guides as well. So when a client comes to me with an issue, my spirit guides will have a meeting with their spirit guide. And so sometimes it's funny. Sometimes the room feels really crowded when there's only two people in there. my new office has a cathedral ceiling, and it's really nice because there's plenty of room for all of us. My last office was a really skinny room, and it really, really, really felt crowded in there often when I was working with a client. So.
All right, so you have this ability early on to be an empath and to heal and to help others. How did you come to call yourself a shaman?
One of the things I realized was that, manic equals shamanic. So many of the things that are a part of being bipolar they're actually gifts, okay? And I call my bipolar condition a gift that's wrapped in a curse, because some of the symptoms of bipolar are really difficult to wrap your system around. But once you can unwrap that gift, there's a ton of really cool stuff that a bipolar person can do, provided that they are taking care of their energy system, keeping it clean. One of the big responsibilities I have is to get regular energy work done on myself, because if my chakras get sort of blocked up, and that's one of the symptoms of being bipolar, is that your energy system starts to block up in certain areas, and that it starts to shut down, it starts to cause you other issues, mental health issues. So the whole shamanic path started for me at birth, and yet it wasn't until I was, in my 40s that I started getting the regular energy work that my practitioner, after a couple of years, and I started to get better, my practitioner said, you're really wired for this stuff, and you have to start going out and doing it on others. Because one of the things with people who have lots of different issues, bipolar or fibromyalgia, 50% of people who have fibromyalgia are psychics who are suppressing their abilities. One of the things about these abilities is if you don't use them, you don't learn how to use them, they will start to give you problems. They will start to try to find ways to break out of your system. If you're using these abilities, the energies flow through you, and things in your system don't break. If you're not using the abilities, it's like shaking up a can of beer and then not opening the top, and that can of beer wants to explode and it hurts. And anyone who has symptoms of fibromyalgia or bipolar or even straight depression, I would urge you to start reading up on what being an empath means. I would urge you very strongly to get a Reiki attunement and to begin to practice Reiki. For me, Reiki is spirituality 101. It's how you can use the power, that this Reiki power is accessible by anybody, provided that it's just explained to them the basics of how to use it, and then that you're introduced to this energy. Once people with depressive issues and bipolar and fibromyalgia and a bunch of other physical issues, many of which mimic Lyme disease, once they start to use this Reiki, they're going to feel so much relief. Because this energy, the coolest thing about Reiki is, yes, other people can do it on you. The other cool thing is every time you do it on someone else, you are actually getting benefits. So every time I use this energy on a client, I'm getting benefits because it's flowing through me.
Do you ever use it on yourself?
Yes, I do. Absolutely. In a meditative type state.
Right.
Or when I'm feeling, actual acute pain. Like if I bang my knee, I'm a carpenter. And if I bang my knee on, something on a pile of lumber or something, I can stop the pain in a minute with Reiki, or I can stop the pain in a minute with some of the visualizations that my guides have shown me. most of the techniques that I've developed personally, that if I didn't know better, I'd say I made them up on the spot.
Because they're coming from someplace else other than your conscious mind.
Without a doubt, coming from someplace else. Some of the things that I feel like I'm making it up on the spot, when I feel like I'm making up a brand new exercise on the spot and I'm working on a client, that is when I know I have the best connection to my guides that I could have, like a really, really open chat.
All right, let me ask you, since you're talking about your guides, can you talk about your guides specifically? Who are they? Where do they come from? And how do they check in with you? Other than what you just mentioned, where you're with somebody and you get things made up.
Well, I've been a channel, as I say, since I was a little boy, and I have learned now. I've gotten to where, throughout my entire marriage, my wife, Liz Tobin, who you've also interviewed, and I have been channeling together. And what she does is she stays in a conscious state and takes notes. So we have notebooks and audio tapes filled with channeled messages from the guides that we work with. We've been doing this now for 25 years together. This started her healing practice 17 years ago now, and this group of gods became very interested in her work, and this council of Elohim has been watching over her work and my work ever since. And so we connect with these guides, and they give us lots of really useful information, like practical stuff. They call themselves Elohim, and Elohim is a level of, if you were to Google angels and look up on Wikipedia, there's actually a chart. And they've called themselves what mid-level guides to me. I'm not channeling so much Archangel Michael, although I can, although I work with him. But thousands and thousands and thousands of people that channel Archangel Michael, and he's great. I think there's fewer people who are on the wavelength I'm on channeling this group about channeling Elohim like I do. So. I've literally channeled hundreds and hundreds of guides, and I would say that that's fairly unique. Most folks who are channels channel a very narrow range of guides, two or three or four or five, and they stick with that group, and they're very good at communicating with that group. I happen to have a much wider range. One of the other things that I'm really good at is I could introduce you to your guides if we, you know, we're willing to work on it for a while, and I could come up with a couple of names of your guardian angels, you know, they may be famous ones, like, you know, Melchizedek or Michael or Ezekiel. They're very possible, but the chances are that you've got guides that have pretty weird names, you know. Most of the guides I deal with have these really long, 60-syllable phonetic names. Manachesma, Wentamilamian, Amenastawa, Wuanamasawa, We Are Shuan, Oneiris, you know, those are the first four or five syllables of a 60-syllable name. Each of those syllables is a part of a name they were in a certain incarnation. This is how they've explained it to me. So they've had 60-plus incarnations, and the name that basically I'm coming to an agreement with the guide about how we're going to address each other. They're going to call me James, and I'm going to call them X, you know.
But they have told you what they want to be called, or what they prefer to be.
I ask them their name, and then I sort of wait and see what happens. And usually I'll come up with a name. And then, and this is important if you're learning how to channel. The next question you ask the guide is, are you from the light?
Aha.
Very important. This is the qualifier. So you've just come in contact with this new spirit in your head, and you can see it, you can feel it. Ask it its name. It'll probably tell you. It might be this very bizarre-sounding name. Trust that that's true. Okay, that's the name that they... That's how you're going to deal with this guy. Then you ask it, are you from the light? And if most of them will say yes, like right away. If they hesitate, if there's dead air for 3 or 4 seconds, or if they say no, tell them to go away. And they will. They might not go away the first time. They might be persistent. One of the things that happens to people who, and lots of people in the last 5 years, people who are 50, 60 years old, they've never done any kind of this stuff before in their life. The energies of the upgrades that we've been getting are turning people into channels that were never channels before, and we don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to go about it. So this qualifying the guides is incredibly important. Because now these people are sending out a beacon, you know, almost like the searchlights in Hollywood, you know what I mean? And now those searchlights in Hollywood, they've never come out of your head before, and now they are. So now there's spirits out there that say, hey, there's someone over there that can hear me or that can see me. And they'll come and they'll check you out. Not all of them are beneficial to talk to. Okay? So qualify them. Are you from the light? Yes. Then you can continue. You can ask them what they're here to tell you, or you can start asking them questions. Now that you know their name, when you wake up out of the little bit of a trance and write that name down, very important. Keep a journal. Talk to them. You know, write down some of the things that they tell you. I'm very fortunate. I can channel, and my wife writes it all down, which is great. But you can do all kinds of stuff. You can do audio. You can keep a little tape recorder next to your on your nightstand. The best time to try and talk to spirit guides are right before you're about to go to sleep. You just finished reading your book. You turned the nightlight out on your dresser, and you're about to. That's a really good time. That's when your brain is in the right state to be a good transmitter and a good receiver. Another good time to try and talk to spirit guides is when you wake up in the morning and you look at the clock and you know you got 45 minutes before you have to get up. Sometime in those 45 minutes, your brain is going to be in a proper state to transmit and receive to these spirit guides. It's another good time to try and channel. There's a book, I don't know who the author is. The name of the book is called Opening to Channel, and it explains all of this. I read this book 30 years ago and realized when I read this book that I'd already been doing this stuff for 25 years, you know, just like they explained it. So for me, it's a very natural phenomenon, but for a lot of new people are being, there's a lot of talk out there about how more and more people are awakening, right?
Right, there is. Yes, there is a vast spiritual awakening that's spreading around the globe. It's not local.
Absolutely.
All over. And people from all walks of life.
And accelerating over the last 15 plus years.
Right.
So many more people are psychic that never were. And they're 60 years old, and all of a sudden they're psychic, and they don't know what to do. They're scared. Maybe because they're trying to suppress it, because their religious tradition tells them they should be suppressing these psychic abilities, that they shouldn't. My religious tradition that I grew up in would excommunicate me for the things that I did. Okay.
I'm familiar with that tradition. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, can we sort of say that this has been happening for people more frequently since November of 2003?
I would agree with that assessment because, you know, the gateway. The harmonic concordance that you found 5 years previous to it actually happening was a giant gateway to open a giant spiritual dimension worldwide on this planet. And now, ever since, more and more people are waking up. They're waking up. They're waking up, and they're realizing, you know, the reality that they were taught from birth isn't, you know, doesn't explain everything.
All right. Let me ask you: would you like to dip a toe in, so to speak, to the to your guides and give us a channeled message from one or more of your guides?
Okay. We just did our show last night. We do a monthly teleseminar called the Gateway to Grace. And Gateway to Grace, free monthly teleseminar. And we do this every month on the first Monday of every month. There are 50 recordings available. If you're interested in any of this material, go to Facebook, type in Gateway to Grace free monthly teleseminars, and you can access these recordings. But if you want to talk to a guide right now, we can do that. Hello.
Hello.
I am Mana Chesma. I am James's healing guide. So when he wants to do Reiki or other healing work on himself, I am one of the ones that supervises that. One of the things about this awakening you've been discussing is that so many of the people who are awakening are now getting downloads. They explain it to them. They explain it to others as if they're downloading information, and that's a very good explanation of what is happening to them. That the universe, or spirit, or their spirit guides, or their guardian angels, however they choose to look at it or label it, the universe is constantly sending everybody information. So many more people are now aware of that and awakened to the idea that they're getting all this information from an outside source. Does this make sense?
Does to me. Thank you.
And I would imagine most of the people who are listening to this broadcast would at least be familiar with that idea, yeah?
Yes, of course.
I've been working with James now for 15 to 20 of your years of as he has continued to continue to open to channel and continue to channel on a proactive basis and go to look for this information, he has come into contact with, as he said, hundreds and hundreds of us guides. So I am a member of the Council of Elohim who watches over his work and his wife Liz Tobin's work. And we're very interested in her work because she's working, she spoke to you about this, I'm sure, in the interview you did with her. She spoke to you about working in large groups via proxy.
Yes, she did.
And that's one of the things that we, this council, is interested in that her utilizing quantum physics to work on large groups of people via proxy is a precursor to, you know, it's you know, pioneering stages of what will eventually be worldwide telepathy.
That's a wonderful thing to hear. Are telepathic messages, as I believe, more complete than the language that we can use? So if when we get to the point where we will have the telepathic capacities, our communication will be much clearer and more truly what we want to say.
And eventually, and this is we've explained this to Liz and James several of your years ago, is that eventually half of the functions you have on your smartphone, eventually you won't need the smartphone for them.
Thank you.
That's down the road.
Even if I don't have a smartphone.
Correct. But that's the way we choose to explain it in those terms. And it ought to make sense to many of you. That the need in 150 of your years, that the actual need for the smartphone is going to fall away.
Great. Thank you for that.
But one of the difficult things, and for any burgeoning channel or any burgeoning psychic person, especially someone who's 50 years old and never been a psychic before, and all of a sudden they are, is to learn. And even James has difficulty with this, and he's been doing this for a really long time. Is to be able to screen out. To be able to have a really good radio dial and only maybe pick up one station at a time, as opposed to picking up multiple stations. That's the difficult thing to learn. That's what the phone will do for you. The phone will pick up the person you're talking to, and that's about it. But when your own transmitting and receiving set in your energy system, I would say in your brain, but it's more in your heart, Learning how to have access to the dial, the radio dial, so to speak, and have your hand on it, be able to tune in just one station at a time. That takes work. That takes practice, and it takes the intent that you know that that's what you're doing, that you're trying to screen out the other stuff. And there's all kinds of techniques to do that. And for burgeoning psychics, the idea that they have to stop in the middle of their day and ground themselves and shield themselves, and they may have to do this multiple times a day to avoid getting too many signals at once, that takes practice.
Well, thank you very much, Montechisma. That is the right way to pronounce your name, Montechisma?
Montechisma, yes.
Montechisma, okay.
Very good, very good.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting us on the Council of Elohim have a voice.
Well, I'm very happy to have you on our blog, along with James, of course. So thank you. Thank you for participating today.
Uh-huh. Blessings and greetings to all of you.
Namaste.
Namaste. Well, how was that? I'll have to listen to see what he said.
All right.
I'll have to listen to the tape, yeah.
Oh, well, it'll be up in a little while or a couple of weeks, and you'll be able to listen to it. Let me just to sort of wrap this up for a moment. Do you have any plans for the future, either for yourself or for you and Liz?
Indeed. We are we're in the process right now of developing a membership site. And the site is called Tales from the Ship. And if you're interested in Tales from the Ship, we also have a Facebook page for that. So go on Facebook, type in Tales from the Ship, and ask to join the group. This membership site, its goal is to make our work more accessible to larger amounts of people and to do it so that it's very economical. Liz has been in practice for 17 years. She has done literally thousands of resonance repatterning sessions, and she has reports written for every single one of them. The fact of the matter is, because of the lack of limits of quantum physics, these reports, even if she did the session 15 years ago, you could ask for permission and access this report and get the healing from it. That's pretty cool.
Yes, it is. And I want to just let me put a word in here. I had a resonance repatterning session with Liz last week.
Yes.
It was amazing what she allowed me to see and to repattern. And it has made a very significant difference in my life.
Excellent.
It was, yeah, without going into.
I'm getting chills.
That's great.
Listening to you, listening to you say that.
Yeah, I mean, she, without the details, let me tell you that she was able to, via her patterning, resonance repatterning protocols, was able to find for me the place of liberation. And that is a very important spot. It was for me.
The system is amazing, and it's the only reason we're still married. It's because we do this work on each other at least once a month, okay? Because so many of the issues that that anybody has in their marriage, but that we had in particular, we can deal with those issues and sort of erase them, so to speak, using the resonance repatterning process.
All right, so when is the Tales from the Shift website going to be up?
We are building it. We have a header. We have the header of the page made. So we're in the process of building it. I expect sometime that we're going to go operational sometime in April. I would expect that Tales from the Shift is going to be up and running. And well, there's several levels we're going to give. We're going to have a free level. We're going to have an opt-in level, which means you're going to have to give us your email address, and that will bring you to, say, level a free level, an opt-in level, and level two, which would be a paid level, which would be about $15 a month. And what we would make available to you for that amount is a bunch of information about chakras, meridians, channeling, how resonance repatterning works, how Reiki works, how your chakras work, what they look like, how to manipulate them. Also, if you were in the paid level, you would get two healings a month that are activatable by you just by either reading the report that you get or listening to the recording that is happening. We do the monthly Gateway to Grace, and this all started with a gateway, the Harmonic Concordance, but our first Gateway to Grace, our first monthly free teleconference, was on 11-11-11. So that was the gateway. That's why we called it that.
Okay.
And we've done 50 recordings, and each one of those 50 recordings is a healing. So we would make these recordings available to you on this site as well.
All right. Finally, let me ask you, can you give us the way that people can get in touch with you right now? So that
the best way to contact me would be to either make me a friend on Facebook, James A. Dempsey, D-E-M-P-S-E-Y, on Facebook. There's a picture of me singing into a microphone. The other way to contact me, if you're interested in more information about what it is I do, or if you're interested in finding out about a session with me, is James the T-H-E, James the Shaman, S-H-A-M-A-N, James the Shaman at yahoo.com. That's the best way.
And that's your email?
That's my email address.
And you have a website also?
I have a website that has bios and stuff, jamestheshaman.com. But if you actually want to contact me, use the email address, please.
And once again, that's James the Shaman, all one word, at yahoo.com.
Correct. Right. And if you want more information about myself and my services, bios, pictures, explanations of what it is that I do, you can go to jamestheshaman.com.
All right. Well, James, thank you very much for giving us some time today.
That was fun.
Good. I'm glad. And also thank the guide, Manachima.
The guides are very grateful that to be able to have a voice. They're really happy to participate in our monthly teleconferences. And, it's pretty neat that And I see this with other people who have, I see this with Abraham Hicks. I see this with Lee Harris. His guides are really excited to have a mouthpiece, that can spread the word. I was talking to a client the other day, and he was like, I was talking to someone out in California who sort of does what you do, and his guides were saying the same things your guides are saying right now. So they're pretty well, they approach these spirit guides are out there in the cosmos, whatever they are, but they're very much on the same page. They don't always know each other, but in terms of the message that they're trying to send.
They are all, however, coming from the light. They've all been qualified.
I've qualified them all. One of the things we talked about a little earlier, when you're sending out that, you know, Hollywood searchlight beacon and you qualify them, the more you qualify the gods, word begins to get around. I don't have guides that aren't from the light trying to talk to me anymore. They used to all the time, but I qualified them. If I meet a new guide, even to this day, a guide that I've never spoken with before, I qualify this guide. But the chances are, after a couple of years of you qualifying your guides that you're speaking of, chances are that, you know, guides that aren't from the light aren't going to bother, because word does get around. It's interesting. Word gets around that I'm not going to speak to any, you know, anyone that aren't from the light. So they don't bother me anymore, you know. But if you're sending out a new beacon and you're new in the neighborhood, everyone's going to check you out. Qualify your guide. If you have any questions about how to do this, get in contact with me. I'll give you a 15-minute session on Skype for free. So, you know, and any of you listening that want to talk to me for 15 or 20 minutes for free, I'm willing to do that. Contact me, jamestheshaman@yahoo.com.
Well, thank you again, James. Let's say goodnight today, this time. Namaste. And folks, I want to thank you, too, for having stopped by here. We have a series of very interesting guests that are on the blog already and that are coming up. So please do check back. Once again, this is Johnny Marahiel. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you for having tuned in to the Harmonic Concordance blogcast with Johnny Marahiel and special guest. For more information about the blog, please visit www.hcblog.org. We wish you peace and blessings on your journey. Namaste.